Have we heard the Christmas story? Well, actually, not quite yet. I appreciate the diligence. We've heard part of the Christmas story. Tonight, I would like to share with you the Christmas story, actually, in its broader context. In fact, really, the whole Christmas story. I'm going to begin at the beginning. I'm going to do it in a little bit of an unconventional way, using an image that is often used in Scripture to describe God in His glory, and is the image of light. There's something about light, particularly in the midst of darkness, that draws our attention and seems something that is powerful and mighty and glorious. Light was often used in Scripture as a means of describing the glory that is the Lord. So we're going to do that with some light in a little unconventional way. What I'm doing right now is just setting these things up in at least some semblance of order. Let's take a journey through the Christmas story. In the beginning, God. Before there was anything else, there was God. Full and complete. He needed nothing else, and nothing, and He was made from nothing. He simply was. He was perfect in all way, and there was perfect fellowship in God, perfect fellowship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it was God's purpose to create the universe. He chose merely by His will to cause that which had no being to come into being. With a mere word, He created all that there is. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And darkness was over the face of the earth. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And He called the light day. And He called the darkness night. And there was beginning. There was the beginning of light and day. It worked fine in the trial. I told Ben at the beginning, this is either going to go very well or tragically wrong. God also created the birds of the air, the fish of the sea. He created all the animals that walk along the surface of the ground. But His highest creation was a creation that was to reflect His own glory. It was to reflect His character and nature. As God created Adam and Eve, He created humanity. In His own image, He created them, male and female. And God enjoyed fellowship with Adam and Eve. He could come down in the cool of the eve and walk with them. And they enjoyed the intimacy of perfect peace, of unity, of harmony. He gave them but one command, telling them that of everything you cannot eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For if you eat of that tree, you will surely die. But they were tempted. And they gave in to that temptation, for they thought that they could be like God if they ate that tree from that tree. And so they ate. And though their eyes were opened, they became darkened. Though they could see and understand these things now, their hearts began to turn away from God. His glory was diminished in them. And it became harder and harder for humanity and all creation. For they all fell under a curse of frustration and a curse of pain. Now, God did not leave humanity without hope. For He told them that there would come one. For it would come, an offspring of the woman would come and provide salvation for them. When Eve gave birth to her son, she immediately called him, "Here he is," thinking that he was the one that had been promised, the one who would make everything right, who would get rid of the curse. "Here he is," she called him, a name we know as Cain. But he hadn't come. For Cain's heart turned even further against God. He killed his own brother. And he plunged humanity into an ever and increasing darkness. They continued to fall away from the Lord. Till finally there was only one man left who still served and worshiped God. And then there were none. For God sent a flood to cover the earth, and only Noah and his family were saved. When the waters departed, Noah and his family began to resettle the earth. It was several generations later that there was a man who sought after God like Noah. A man named Abraham, who God called to him from Ur of the Chaldeans, telling him, "Come, leave this land where you are. Take your wife and your household and follow me to where I will lead you." And he said, "Though you are old, though you are well past childbearing years, and though neither you nor your wife have any children, yet you are a great nation." He said, "And those who bless you on earth will be blessed, and those who curse you on earth will be cursed." And then he said, "And all the people of the earth will be blessed through you." He had a son whose name was Jacob, who God changed to Israel. He became the father of the Israelite people, the people through whom God would bring his salvation, the people through whom God would make things right. There were many years in which the people sought after other things, finally finding themselves enslaved for over 400 years. God miraculously delivered them from the hand of the Egyptians, sending plagues upon the Egyptians to find the Egyptians drove away. And even though the Egyptians pursued them, seeking their destruction, God opened a way for them to cross through the Red Sea. When they had made it across on the other side, when the Egyptians sought to chase after them and entered into that way, God closed the waters once again and swallowed the Egyptians. The people rejoiced, for they had seen the salvation of the Lord. They had seen his deliverance. And God made a promise to them at that point. He said to them, he said, "I will be your God, and you will be my people." He gave to them on Mount Sinai his law, the law which revealed his glory, showing his holiness, showing his mercy, showing his character, his righteousness, showing who He is. He gave them the law and they celebrated, for it was a good thing. A thing that would be a lamp to them. A thing that would guide and light their path. He also raised up a king for them. A king after His own heart named David, who followed after the Lord with his whole being. He had a son whose name was Solomon. Solomon built a great temple to the Lord, a place for the Lord's glory to be present and seen by all. He constructed the altar according to the directions of the Lord, and there placed the sacrifice on the altar. That sacrifice was placed there. And then an amazing thing happened. For fire came down, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple and consumed the sacrifice. For the glory of the Lord was present for all to see. This glory was to impact the people in a mighty way. But their hearts didn't always focus on the glory of God. Though He had shown so much of Himself, though He had revealed His glory, they chose rather to rebel and go their own way. For the law was abandoned. The temple itself was defiled. And the people turned their backs on God. Because of this, the glory of the Lord began to fade in Israel. It could no longer be seen shining as brightly. God's judgment fell on them as a people as He carried them away into the land of Babylon, there for 70 years to be away from their home, 70 years to know that they were under the judgment of God. 70 years of judgment. But even then, He gave them a hope. For He said to them, the people wandering in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on His shoulder. And He shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. After the 70 years, the people began to make their way back. They came back knowing that they had been in exile because of their sin, because they had turned their backs on God, because they had not sought after Him and were not following Him. When they returned, they rebuilt the city of Jerusalem. They rebuilt the temple. They rebuilt the altar. But the glory of God did not descend once again upon that altar. They were living in dusk. For 400 years, they longed for the glory of God to return to Zion. They longed for God to show Himself anew and afresh. Was 400 years after their return that a young virgin named Mary was visited by an angel. The angel had news for her, telling her that she was highly favored of the Lord, that God's blessing was to be on her. For she, though she was a virgin, would have a son. A son who would be the Son of the Most High. One who would be fully human, but fully divine. One who would save His people from their sin. There were other ways in which this was announced. for the same night in which he was born, out in the field, there were shepherds tending sheep. And while they were tending sheep, an angel appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone all around them. They could see the glory and the majesty of the Lord. And in terror, they hid themselves. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy. For today in the city of David has been born to you a Savior, who is the Messiah, who is Christ the Lord." The same time there was out in the east a star that appeared. Magi in the east saw this, understanding that this was a portent of something great. They began the trek, and made their way to Jerusalem to ask the king, "Where is the one who is born, the King of the Jews? For we've seen his stars and we've come to worship him." This fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, who said that the nations would turn and come and seek after the light. For this light would not just be for the Jewish people, but would be for all people everywhere. This was the light that had come into the world. Now Jesus, he was called, grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with man. When he was around the age of 30, he began his public ministry, going throughout Palestine, talking to people, proclaiming and announcing that the kingdom of God was near. It was near because it was present. For God was breaking in. The kingdom of God had arrived, his rule. He announced this with his words and with his deeds, performing wondrous miracles and the like. Many were thrilled at this and excited at first, for they thought, yes, the kingdom is here. They wanted him to be part of their kingdom and their view of things. There's some that wanted him to overthrow the Romans, and others that wanted him merely to join their religious sect. But Jesus called them all to follow after him, to seek after him and to become his disciples. Some did follow. Some did become his disciples. But the people's hearts were turned against God. They were turned against Jesus. And they gave Jesus over to the Romans to be crucified. And Jesus was crucified on a cross. There he bore the sins of all humanity upon himself. He freely took that on him as he took upon himself the judgment that was for all. As he hung on the cross, even at midday, darkness descended upon the face of the earth. For 3 days, he remained in the grave. 3 days. He remained. But he didn't remain there forever. For on the third day, he was raised to life. And the glory of the Lord was revealed, even as it broke through into this world. The glory of the Lord opened up as sin was conquered. For a way was opened up for all to have peace with God. A way was opened up for all things to be made new. It was opened up for the new creation. This was experienced by some of his first disciples. For he met with them and talked with them and revealed himself to them. And they likewise began to tell each other as Jesus visited with them over a period of time, commanding them to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We, as the disciples of Jesus, hear their testimony. And when we embrace Jesus as our Savior, hearing their testimony, we become a light to our world to share with others. For our job is to take this story, to receive it, and then to pass it on. Just take yours and tilt it. Will you receive the story? Will you be part of it? The light of the world is Jesus. The whole world.